So my assignment this evening is gospel, and I get the best one, I think. Nah. It's easy to talk about the gospel. What I appreciate about Dane's commitment and Victory IA's commitment to scripture is that, you know, we want to know, when it comes to talking about something like the gospel, you could say a ton of things. The gospel is multifaceted. And so what we're going to do is not like cover comprehensively what the gospel is in its entirety. Am I spitting into this mic? It's good. Okay. Cause we'd be here for days and days and days. But what we are doing or what we're committed to doing is peering at the gospel through one vantage point in scripture. So we're taking a section of the Bible and we're looking at the aspects of that passage, or I should say the aspects of the gospel that that passage brings out. Make sense? So if tonight you're looking for like comprehensively, this is the gospel, this is not going to be helpful to you because I don't think I'll cover all the grounds. And like I said, I don't think that's realistic anyway. So this will be kind of one aspect of the gospel. Let's dive in. I want to start off this way. And I think we can relate, and I know we can relate because, like Dane mentioned, a lot of the young families are not here. Every day is filled with all kinds of fun problems. All kinds of fun problems. So if you're in the young kid family stage problems, you have all kinds. Some are easy to fix. So my son, Portland, he's 3. And we reached a really important milestone in his life. He learned how to use the potty. Yeah, but now we run into another problem. He can't pull up his underwear. He can't pull up the bibbidis. I guess it's difficult. So one day I'm in the kitchen, we're getting dinner or something, and I hear Portland cry out, "Help, Dad, help!" You know, and I'm like, what? And it's coming from the bathroom, so I'm guessing something to do with bathroom stuff. And he's coming towards the kitchen. He's like, help, I can't get my bibbidis up. So I'm like, okay, just pull it up, man, you know, like, you're 3, just pull it up. And he's like, no, I can't. So finally I turn around and I look at him, and what he has the leg hole around his waist. And he's like, oh, you know, trying to pull the bibbidi up through the leg hole. And I'm like, oh, problems. You know, so I get in there, fix that up, straighten that out. And that's kind of a hilarious quick fix problem. Those are good kind problems. Those are funny kinds of problems. There are not so funny kinds of problems, seasons in our lives where we seem to encounter trials, makes us feel hopeless, yeah? The other day at Grace Fellowship, we did a benefit concert for a Christian family. The father of this family has a really like aggressive form of cancer. And so, you know, we tried to do like a musical benefit thing to raise some funds. I think, Sean, you were part of that event. Seems like a lot of cancer, you know, in the family of God. I don't know if you can relate to that. The other day, a friend of mine told me that his Christian parents were getting a divorce, breaking their marriage covenant, and how much pain it was causing him and his family. And it just seems like in the family of God, there's a lot of relational struggles. We're no stranger to these things. And of course, those are just examples that I know of. Like, you guys have a ton. You probably could agree with me. And there's a world out there that has pain, struggle, trial in the family of God all around the world. And so the question I want to put forward is, how do we respond to such great trials, struggles, the needs of the world as one who believes that Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior? You see where I'm getting at here? As a Christian, as one who believes in Christ as Lord and Savior, how do you respond? Immediately we think about physical help. So I need to be more generous, I need to give more, I need to devote more time and more energy, right, to help people out. And while that's absolutely true, we always got to learn how to be more generous, I think, as reflecting God's own generous heart. There's more to life than food and clothing. That's what the Bible says. And so we might think spiritually, that's the fix. And so the next time a Christian friend comes to us broken up, brokenhearted by the pain of living in a fallen world, our response might be something like, hang in there, right? Life might not be great now, but guarantee it'll get better in heaven. And while I don't want to minimize that, that's absolutely true for those in Christ, is that the only answer? As those who believe in the gospel of Jesus Christ, is the only answer, die and go to heaven? Now, I know I'm setting it up, you can tell, but I'm not trying to minimize things at all. Heaven is one of the most precious hopes that we have. It is. But God, through the gospel of Jesus Christ, has not only given us hope for the future, but also a whole lot of hope to claim here. A whole lot of hope to cling to hold on to in the present. You know, what do Christians know and have that is powerful enough to cause us to rejoice with joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory? What's that? Does that come from stuff? What is this abundant and rich and full and satisfying life that Christ came to give his own? Is that only for the future in heaven? What is that peace of God which transcends all understanding, which will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus? Where does that come from, that peace? You know, today we're going to look at the gospel from Romans 5, 1 through 11, which tells us that the gospel, the good news of our justification, our being declared righteous through faith in Christ. Okay, so apart from works, faith in Christ being declared righteous, the gospel is not just, that's key, just, or merely a belief that gets Christians to heaven, but doesn't have any impact on today. It's not the gospel. Gives us a lot of hope. So let me give you a quick background. In Romans 1 and 2, Paul made it really clear. Everybody, all are condemned before God because of sin. So for example, Romans 2:12 says, "For all who have sinned without the law will also perish without the law. And all who have sinned under the law will be judged by the law." So whether you're a raging alcoholic or a religious zealot, you stand guilty before holy God. That's kind of how he wraps it up in Romans 1 and 2. And then Romans 3 and 4, he proclaims the good news. He tells them that sinners like us can be justified, meaning you're declared right. You're pardoned, you're forgiven, you're freely forgiven by faith in Jesus Christ alone. So for example, Romans 3, 23, 24, it says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified by his grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus." So in other words, justification, okay, that's going to be a key word, so I want you to really grab that one. Or redemption, being saved, is a free gift of God's grace, right? Being pardoned, standing righteous before God, is a free gift of God's grace received through, you know, turning from sin and faith in the person and work of Christ. And that's what Paul labors for in the 1, 2, 3, 4 chapters of Romans. So we come to Romans 5, 1 through 11. Paul's ready to celebrate. He's ready to rejoice a bit. He wants to joyfully unpack all the blessings that belong to every single Christian. Okay, so my heart for you this evening is that you're just encouraged by this. If you're in Christ tonight, you're going to be encouraged. And that's what excites me about tonight. And he explains how these blessings have tremendous impact on our future as well as our present. Okay, so that's what I'm going for. That's my topic for this evening. I think I have a slide just to put that out there. The blessings of our gospel justification today forever. That's what I want to talk about this evening. Okay, let me pray here and then we'll dive into our text. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for blessing your church and just pouring out on her so freely all these blessings because of Jesus. Help us to grasp it, lay hold of it this morning, to know these things that we may know you and love you. Equip us this morning to live faithfully, joyfully in light of all that you are and all that you've done through Christ. For your glory, in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You guys ready? Here we go. So the first blessing of justification is peace with God. Peace with God. We read in Romans 5:1, therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. That's a pretty simple one. Peace with God. Peace means kind of a harmonized relationship between God and man. Okay, so it's no more obstacles, it's no more enmity, it's harmony between God and man. And according to this passage, those who are justified by faith, so Christian, that's you, you have peace with God in our Lord Jesus Christ, and you receive that blessing. That's your blessing, peace with God. And here's the implication. Peace with God comes through Jesus, only Jesus. So no Jesus, no peace with God. I don't want to spend too much time on that, but I had to make that clear. Without faith in Christ, you have no peace with God. But the good news is that through justification, through faith in Christ, you have peace with God. But the question is this. Why do we need peace in the first place? I mean, that's what the world kind of says nowadays. It's like, God, isn't God just the God in the sky who smiles down and is kind of more like the grandpa who just pats you on the head and you're on your way? Why do we need peace with God in the first place? Why are we not at peace with God? And how does justification bring that peace? So later on in Romans 5:10, Paul says that we're enemies of God. The word enemies means adversaries. We're adversaries with God. You know, we're hateful, hostile adversaries. That's what that word enemies is packed with there. And that's why we need peace with God. The Bible says that by nature, we're all sinners who have rebelled against God and thus deserve God's just judgment. So like in Romans 1:18, says stuff like this, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who by their unrighteousness suppress the truth. Or in Ephesians 2:3, it says, we were by nature, so that's pretty clear, we were by nature children of wrath like the rest of mankind. And the good news of this passage, or this good news that this passage declares, is that those who are justified, you can be sure that your blessing today is peace with God. It's peace with God. He's done in Christ, taken away all that wrath. Romans 3:25, Jesus Christ, talking about Jesus Christ, Paul says, whom God put forward as a propitiation by his blood to be received by faith. And all that word propitiation means is to turn away or to remove, to appease God's wrath. That's what God did in Jesus. Okay, so that answers that question, but let me ask you this. I'm talking to the Christians, so I'm talking to those who are justified. Ever encounter hard stuff in your life where you feel like it's like God just punishing you? Ever feel that? I mean, something bad happens, and then something bad happens, and then something bad happens, and something, and it's like, God, what the heck? Are you angry at me? Why are you allowing this to happen to me, God? And you think about it, and since you're a good Christian, you realize it's not God's fault. It's probably because I sinned, isn't it, God? And you're really just kind of paying me back for that one. You know, getting me back for that one, aren't you? Here's the good news. Justification in Jesus Christ means that can't be true. That can never be true. For those who are justified, you have peace with God. And he might allow things to happen to you that you'll never understand the reasons for in this life. And he even may allow the consequences of your sin to come upon you. But the blessing of justification is that it's never because God's wrathful and wants to punish you. You have peace with God. You're no longer an enemy. You're his child. You're his friend. Listen to this again. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. That's your blessing in justification. Second blessing of justification is grace. Hey, immovable grace. Look at verse 2. It continues, through him, Jesus, we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand. And stop right there. The blessing of justification is that Christ obtained something for us. He obtained this access into this grace in which we stand. So one who has been justified is standing, is established in grace. The other day, I had an outing with some of my youth group students. And whenever you have high school students, they like to make up games. And so we went to Kalama's Beach Park. Anybody been to Kalama's? You know, there's a little bit of shore break there. It's on the Kailua side. And so as far as I can tell, this is how the game went. So it was all guys. It had to be guys. And they were standing right in the break zone, right where the shore break is. And they would just plant their feet. And they would puff up their chests. And the wave would come. And it would just smack them in the face. Okay, that's a game somehow. And I was watching them. Like, what the heck are they doing? Why is that fun? They're like, boom, boom. And the game was, you know, so you can stand. So you can stand there in front of the wave. Keep your feet planted. And whoever could, you know, whoever didn't lose their footing won. And the problem was everybody lost their footing. You can't beat waves, I guess. You know, waves are a little stronger than you, they learned. Question. If the blessing of justification is peace with God, but the moment you mess up, it's gone. The moment you mess up, peace is lost. Gone. What good is that? That's no good. If the moment waves and trials and doubts assail us and we're removed from that state of grace, what good is that? And that's the good news. The blessing of your justification is that you have immovable grace. You're established in grace. Because we are justified, we have obtained access, not on our own, but through Christ, and we're placed and fixed in that state of favor and blessing. Romans 14:4, referring to the Christian as the servant of God, says this, and he will be upheld, for the Lord is able to make him stand. That's the good news. Jesus, our Lord, our Master, is coming behind us, is upholding us and keeping us in his grace, keeping our foothold firm. That's the blessing of justification that you have. You have. Those who are justified are fixed in immovable grace. One of our favorite hymns, ready? This might be familiar to you. No power of hell, no scheme of man could ever pluck me from his hand, for I am his and he is mine, bought with the precious blood of Christ. Did we not sing that? That's what it means. That's the blessing of the gospel. For those of you who are justified, you're standing, and he's going to make you stand. So, it's at the end of a long day. Kids, bouncing off the walls, you know, just won't listen to anything you're saying until finally you snap, and you're like, out of your mouth spews the most ugliness, and you're talking to kids, and it's so ugly, it just kind of like shocks you, you know? I don't know if you can relate. I can. This is a little bit of public confession. So, you know, you try to get rid of that. You send them to bed, sit in front of TV, and try to forget about it. Feels like crap. Feels like crap. Or maybe it's a start of a day. You're going to work, you get into the office or on the job, and boss, coworker, whatever, get in your face and just, here we go. It's going to be a long day, and you're a good Christian, so you endure it. And you just keep your mouth shut. You suffer for Jesus. And then it's lunchtime, and you're like sitting down with everybody, and somebody brings it up. You weren't trying to talk smack, but someone brings it up. So here it is. It's you finally jump in and you join in on the bash fest, right? Ah, so and so, blah, blah, blah. And you walk away from that and you feel pretty good, you know? And then you don't get too far until you feel really guilty. You're like, dang it. That was a great witness. Hard day, side of guilt. Yay. Man. Christian, isn't it a blessing to know that nothing you could do or say can uproot you from the loving grace of God? You are established in grace. Through him we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand today. Nothing you could do to change that. You know, today, confess sin, turn from sin, look at Jesus. The truth is, he is able to make you stand in that grace. Keep you standing. Third blessing of justification. Third blessing of justification is the promise of glory. Glory is the catchword that I want you to see. Take a look here. I'm going to read from verse 2. Through him we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Key word, glory, right? So, take a look at this. He says we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. So let's break that down a little bit. Rejoice means, you know, not just to be happy, but it's this word that conveys a sense of joy-filled boasting, glorying in, or a word that I really like that I think captures it, reveling in something, reveling in it. Okay, so I know this is an immature illustration, but I went to Disney recently, and when I was young, I used to watch DuckTales. Anybody? Come on. Yes. You know, I used that once, like, at my church, you know, in the morning, older people, and they're like, "Duck, what?" You know, but DuckTales. Okay, good. We're here. And when I was watching that cartoon, you know, when Uncle Scrooge always does it, he has a lot of money, and for some reason, it's all gold coins, and he keeps it in the vault, right? And there's a springboard at the top of the vault, and what does he do? He jumps in, and he swims around in his money. And I thought, when I was a kid, I used to think, man, that's so cool. Swim around in, like, loads of money, and it's mine, you know? And just, he like, swims around, and he, you know, he's laughing, and he, like, does the little dive things, and he's reveling in his riches. Okay, you get the picture in your mind? That's rejoicing. Reveling in something. That's the word rejoicing. And it says we rejoice, or we joyfully boast, we revel in the blessing of our justification, which is, look at that verse, the hope of the glory of God. Okay, so we got rejoice. What is this hope? What is this hope of the glory of God? The word hope here is a lot more than, gee, I hope it doesn't rain today and we really can't control that. Or, gee, I hope the surf's pretty good and we really have no idea how that's going to be. It's not that kind of hope. Hope is more like, or it conveys more like an anticipation with deep expectation and confidence. That's hope, okay? It's not this loose, maybe, maybe not. It's this deep, abiding, confident expectation. And the word hope applied to the glory of God. So it means that we anticipate or we have confidence in the fact that God will get glory. That's what we're confident about, Paul says. And so we rejoice because, here it is, this is your blessing, okay? This is your hope, the blessing of your justification. We rejoice because when all is said and done, because we are justified, God's going to get the glory, ultimately. So this has really helped me with, like, getting up and talking to you guys. Because I don't know if you ever tried it. Public speaking for some people is like death. And it has been for me for a long time. But here it is. God's going to get glory. Whether I, like, hit a home run or, like, totally flop, at the end of the day, God gets glory. If you're in Christ, this is your blessing. Ultimately, God is glorified. Not only that, but because we are justified, we rejoice in a promise that God will make that glory shine kind of through us, even now, as God makes us more like Jesus. And not only that, what's more is because we're justified, we rejoice knowing that one day, one awesome, sweet day, God's glory will be the riches that we revel in forever. So picture swimming around in that glory, reveling in the glory of God. To rejoice in the hope of the glory of God means this. It means that because we are justified, we revel in our deep confidence that God will be glorified at the end of the day. And that's your blessing. Now, I don't know what you're walking through, but that's your blessing now. At the end of the day, God gets the glory. And so, Christian, when you wake up, there's always purpose. Your day, when you face another day, is to live in such a way that the glory of God shines through. Shines through you. And through faith in Christ, you can rejoice because you know that's what you have. That's your blessing in justification. This is not what you earn. He's destined you for his glory. Okay? Fourth blessing of justification. So if you haven't noticed, here's what Paul's doing. He's going to try to overwhelm you with all these blessings. Just stack them up. you know, really high so that you get it and you rejoice. Okay, so the fourth blessing of justification is joy in suffering. Joy in suffering. So he's taking this idea of hope and he's going to apply it specifically and especially to suffering and how glory plays out in that. So look at Romans 3:4. Paul makes this stunning statement. Not only that, but we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. Okay, so what this doesn't mean, right, is that we especially enjoy suffering. Christians do not especially enjoy suffering. It's like, yay, suffering. No, no. What it does mean is that as we go through that suffering, the blessing of justification, okay, this is yours in Christ, is that you can have joy as you walk through it. No one else can, but in Christ, you can have joy in suffering. So you mean like sickness and the pain of broken relationships and need? You know, why the heck would anybody have joy in the midst of that? Ever thought about that? Okay, God, I've heard this before, joy and suffering, but sickness, pain, and broken relationships and need, really? Joy? And of course, the Bible gives us lots and lots of reasons, right? First of all, suffering that we face for the sake of Jesus is actually the highest honor. If you were at the Overflow Conference, that was kind of one of the main points of John Piper's main message. I think it was the last one. It's the highest honor to suffer for Christ. So the Bible says that. Secondly, suffering becomes this opportunity for God's glory to shine through you in your weakness. So as you're like struggling and God sustains you and carries you through and you make it, you know, God is magnified. But look at what Paul is focusing on here, okay? Paul says that suffering becomes a means of doing something in you. It becomes a means of sanctification. That's the word, becoming more like Jesus. The glory of God being manifested in us. That's what he's talking about. So let's follow the logic in his text here just a little bit, okay? It says that we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance. Okay, so we rejoice through the suffering because we know something. What do we know? Produces endurance. And that endurance or perseverance or patience in some of your translations is, in all of Scripture, the distinguishing mark of God's people. You want to look at, do a little survey of God's people, and one of the distinguishing marks is endurance, is that perseverant patience. And it goes on, and endurance produces character. So the result of perseverance, right, or what is produced by perseverance is character. So this word character talks about authentic or strong or tested. That's a good phrase. Tested faith. Faith that has weathered a storm or two. And then he goes on, and character produces hope. So let's connect the dots. The product of our growing, persevering, tested faith is more hope. A little bit circular, but it's more hope. More confidence in God. More confidence in God's glory and how he's going to get that through us. More confidence in the glory that awaits us. See, the cool thing about justification is that your blessing is that your suffering is never wasted. Not one bit. And that gives us joy as we walk through. Why do you need to know this? Christian, I don't know what you're going through today. But if you've been justified by the blood of Christ, your blessing is supernatural joy, unexplainable joy in suffering. And you hear that and it's like, well, so what? That means I don't feel pain. You're saying Christians don't feel pain, right? And if I'm a good Christian, then I'll just tough it out. And of course not, you know, doesn't mean we don't feel pain. And I want to say this, Christians, we don't use these truths, these precious truths to try to minimize people's pain, you know, the terrible effects of living in a sin-fallen world. You know, we don't use stuff like this to say, suck it up, precious truth to tell people, eh, you know, God's going to do something with it, so suck it up. That's not what we do. But here, listen to this. God calls Christians, you and I, to feel joy and pain, to feel joy and suffering more than anybody else. More than anyone else, that's what God calls you to. Paul wrote later in Romans 12:15. Listen, rejoice with those who rejoice, weep with those who weep. That's a command. God wants you to rejoice and rejoice with people when they're rejoicing. But God wants you to weep and feel their pain when they're weeping. How can you do that? How can you do that? The only reason we can do that while we're free to both rejoice and to weep is because we know that it amounts to something. Is that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. That's yours today. We have confidence that God supplies that hope, that sorrow may last for the night, but that joy comes in the morning. And that's your blessing, the blessing of justification, that God transforms the many trials into more hope, more strength, more glory, more growth, all of that. That is your blessing in justification. Okay, fifth blessing of justification. Good thing you gave me a lot of time. Fifth blessing of justification is God's unparalleled love. Love, okay? Lock onto that love. Look at Romans 5:5. And hope does not put us to shame because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. In other words, Paul, he's explaining that what makes our hope all the more secure is the fact that God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. So the blessing of justification is that the promised Spirit, Holy Spirit, dwells in us. And one of his jobs is to pour out love, pour it into our hearts, to give us, to bring to us a clear and overwhelming sense of God's love, to bear on your heart. That's the Holy Spirit's job, to take God's love and to pour that out on your heart so that you have that overwhelming sense of that. And so Paul goes on to explain what kind of love this is and how this love can be known and experienced. So look at verse 6. For while we were still weak, that's sinful, you know, hateful, hostile enemies of God. While we were still weak, at the right time, that's God's own sovereign appointed time. At the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. For one will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person, one would dare even to die. But look at verse 8. But God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. That's one of my favorite verses in the Bible. Paul's point is that this love, that the Holy Spirit's job is to make us sense and to know, that's our gift in justification, this unparalleled kind of love, is unique to God and God alone. And so he's kind of trying to make this contrast between human love and God's love, you know? So he's saying humans, we might sacrifice for a good person. Years ago, this is before I was married, I went to a youth camp with my fiance at the time, who's my wife, Stephanie. And we were both doing youth ministry at the time. And she was in Oahu and I was in Kauai. And so we're like, let's meet up together at this youth camp and bring our youth groups together. And it's this symbolic, beautiful act. We didn't think that, but it was kind of corny. But that's how it went. We brought our youth groups together at camp. And it was at Camp Erdman. You guys have been there, I'm sure. And one day, we go to the dinner hall. So that's upstairs, you know, all the tables. And her group comes to dinner, but not her. So I'm like, hey, where's Steph? And they're like, oh, I think she's sick. I think she's at the cabin. So I'm like, okay. So I text her. I'm like, honey, are you okay? You know, And she's like, yeah. Can you watch my kids for me? You know, and I'm like, yeah, okay, cool. So we're eating and we're enjoying it. And just moments later, I get another text. And she's like, big capital letters, help, quick, come. You know, like, oh, no. So I run down the stairs and I run across the street because the cabins are across the street. And I, you know, run to their cabin and I knock on the door. And she's like, come in, you know. And so I open the door. And as I open the door, there's this massive, like, pink, lumpy, gooey puddle. of barf. Just like huge, like the stage size, you know, just big old, like, whoa. I mean, the smell just cracked me in the face. The door flies open and she's like, I think I got food poisoning, you know. I'm like, oh my gosh. She's like wrenching, you know, she's all sore. And I'll remember this for the rest of my life because I think that was the moment where I was like, dang, you must be in love. Because I didn't run. I didn't like, you know, I said, okay, it's okay, you know. And I ran back to the cafeteria, got the barf kit, you know, they have the kitty litter and all that stuff. And I, you know, did the whole thing, swept it all up, and honey, you're okay, and tried to be comforting and all that. I endured, you know, sacrifice. It's my moment, I'm going to shine. But I cheated. Because she's already, at that point, she's already lovely to me, right? I already knew, I sensed because of what God was doing, because of what I knew about her, that we were going to be married. She's my fiance. So she was already lovely to me, so I could do that. I could sacrifice, and it was no deal. But what if a person who maybe like hurt one of my kids? I have three little kids, right? 6, 4, and Porter just turned 3 on Friday. So what if there was this person who hurt one of my kids and they were in need? You know, I'm sorry, but I have to admit, I don't know if I would feel any obligation to help that person. And I don't think any of you would blame me, right? It's like, forget them. I wouldn't show any kindness to them. Oh, they're covered in barf. Who cares? But that's not God's love. That is not the way that God loves. But God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. That's the blessing of our justification, to have that sense of God's love poured into your heart. I'm praying that that's being poured into your heart now. That's how God loves you, Christian. That's how God loves you. It's almost as though he's saying, I love you, though all you have ever done is hate me. I love you so much that I sent my son to die on the cross for your sin, that you may know my love while you were still covered in that junk. That's not how God loves. And that's your blessing in Christ. That's the way God loves you. Of course, the objection is, I just don't feel loved. Common objection, understandable objection, but I just don't feel loved, you know. David, you don't know, nothing seems to be going right in my life. I had a crummy week, my battle against sin and my flesh. I suck. And Christians, this is the proof of God's love. God demonstrates his own love. How? The cross. While we were yet sinners, Christ went to the cross. And if you are justified, the unparalleled love of God is yours today. Now and forever. Sixth blessing of justification is the assurance of full salvation. God's going to bring you all the way home. Okay, so if you are justified, Paul wants you to know here, God's going to bring you all the way home. So let's read Romans 5:9. We're going to pick up from there. It says, since, therefore, we have now been justified by his blood, much more shall we be saved by him from the wrath of God. For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son, much more now that we are reconciled, shall we be saved by his life. Okay, so Paul's kind of expanding on the implications of our justification for today and now for the future. So he is pointing ahead. And the question he tries to tackle here is this: if we can trust God with the greater things, you know, Jesus dying on the cross while we're still sinners, if we can trust God with the greater things, then how can we not trust him for the lesser things? Namely, trust Jesus to bring his friends. Okay, remember, you have peace with God. You're his friend. So how can we not trust him to bring his friends all the way home? To save us from the effects of living in this fallen world, from the effects of his divine displeasure on sin, That's his reasoning here. And so Paul's point, let me put it another way. God will not leave his work unfinished. God doesn't quit. That's the blessing of justification. He doesn't quit on you. So like my daughter is in first grade. And she's doing homework. Yay. And she's only in first grade, but she already is in the stage where she learned that homework is just not fun anymore. Okay, so you remember when homework was fun? When like you colored stuff or you glued stuff on stuff and that was homework. But now it's writing and it's sentences and it's math. So here she is, right? I have more patience than my spouse, but I better not say that. I'm in charge of helping Penny with her homework. So, you know, here she is, she's writing and her letters are getting huge and her sentences are getting short and it's getting really messy. And she's, you can just see it boiling in her, you know, because she's really expressive. And all of a sudden she's like, it's too hard. I don't like homework. I just want to give up. And that's how we can be. We can be just like that. You know, we don't always want to finish. And sometimes we don't. We don't finish. We quit. But that is not God. Think about it this way. Has God given his son for your sin only to give up on you when things get hard? Did Jesus die for you? You know, did God give his son just to give up on you? You know, Paul asks the question this way in Romans 8:32. Listen, he who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things? How? So he's going to pour all that on you and give up? I don't think so. I don't think so. And as surely as Jesus died and was raised to life while you were still a sinner, you can count on him to bring you home. You can count on him to bring you home. Those whom he justified, he also glorified. Through many dangers, toils, trials, and snares, I have already come. His grace has brought me safe thus far, and grace will lead me home. And if that's not enough, Paul declares one more blessing of justification. One more. Okay, so far, Paul piled it up really high, right? Peace, grace, glory, joy, love, assurance, all that yours now in Christ. And in our final verse, verse 11, look at what he says. More than that. See what he did there? He saved the best for last. What is more than that? What's more than peace, grace, glory, joy, love, assurance? What's more than that? I want to know. More than that, we also rejoice. Again, boast in, delight in, revel in. More than that, we also rejoice in God. In God. In God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we now have received reconciliation. Here's Paul's point. The greatest blessing of the good news is that sinners may be made to know, to boast in, to delight in, to revel in the Maker and the supreme ruler of all things. The greatest and the best of all beings, God himself. That's the greatest blessing, more than those things, Paul says. So, Christians, when we think about it, if we died today and went to heaven and, you know, perfect life, perfect health, I'm sure you heard this before, perfect pleasure, no problem, sin done forever and ever and ever, we have to say that's not okay with us, because as good as those things are, as good as all these blessings are, the glory of heaven is being in the very presence of God. That's the glory of heaven. God. That's what God does in our hearts, you know, to make us, even us, who have run from God, rebelled against God, to delight in God, so much so that he's the greatest, the best blessing of our lives. I mean, Jesus said, listen to Jesus, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am, you may also be. The gospel is Jesus coming to bring us home to be with him. That's the glory of the gospel. Revelation 21:4 puts it another way. And I love this passage. I'm sure you know this passage. And he will wipe away every tear from their eyes. And there will no longer be any death. There will no longer be any mourning or crying or pain. The first things have passed away. And you hear that verse. It's so good. Like my life right now is filled with a lot of tears. A lot of crying. So you mean there's going to be a day when there's none of that? That sounds so good, and it is good. But we might miss the most significant part of that text. Who wipes the tears away? God. And he will wipe away every tear from their eyes. The glory of the gospel, the blessing of our justification, is that we get God himself. A relationship with God himself as our perfect heavenly Father. But, okay, look at what the verse actually says. It gets better. Look at what the verse actually says. We also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, this is the part. Through whom we have now received reconciliation. You see what Paul does there? This eternal blessing of God for those who are justified can be rejoiced in, reveled in, known now. You can know God now. You can know God now. That's the biggest blessing of the gospel. That's the guarantee of your justification. God is making himself known to you. And so when we open the Bible, the presence of God pours out. When we serve one another, we encounter the hands and feet of God. When we make disciples, we sense him there with us, making disciples. I mean, that's what Jesus said, right? I'll be with you always when you do that. So, Christian, your greatest blessings are peace, grace, glory, joy, love, full salvation. But the best of all is to know God himself today and forever. That's the good news. That's the gospel. That's good news. So, let me wrap it up this way. Christian, are you living in light of this gospel? Are you living in light of this gospel? Are you encouraging one another with these truths? These are some powerful truths. You know, you don't have to just play the one card. You got a bunch to deal out as people come to you, worn down, broken down from this world, or as you feel the weight of this world. There's all of this. There's all these glorious benefits of being justified in Christ. Who are you encouraging with these truths? Who are you sharing this good news with? Man, news this good gotta be shared. So as we stare intently into this, here's our prayer. I'm gonna steal it from Psalm 51:12. Listen, I want you to pray this today. Restore to me the joy of your salvation. Grant me a willing spirit to sustain me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and grant me a willing spirit to sustain me. This evening, if you're not a Christian and you wouldn't call yourself a Christian and you're not in Christ, I need to say this. Only through being justified by faith in Jesus, the one who died while we were yet sinners, by faith in him alone do we receive all of these blessings. So apart from Christ, no peace. Apart from Christ, no hope of the glory of God. No assurance, no promise of salvation. That's a sobering reality, isn't it? Only judgment. Only the expectation of remaining in that judgment and being cast out from the presence of God forever. But this can be good news to you because this is the gospel. Those who repent of their sin, trust in Christ today. You can know God today. You can know God today. That's the blessing of being justified in Christ. Let's pray.